77 WABC.
WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
WABC.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
Walter M. Sterling in just one moment. Hi, everybody. I'm Cousin Brucey, and I'm here for a special reason. First of all, I've walked across the hall, music radio. I'm now at 77 Talk Radio, WABC. Walter Sterling and I sort of grew up together. I know him such a long time. Well, he was a little younger than I am, but, you know, I babysat for him, to tell you the truth. And I see that he's here following my Cousin Brucey debut tonight, and I'm thrilled. I've done his show before, Sterling on Saturday, we call it here, and he talks about everything in life. He talks about lifestyles. He is charming. He is intelligent. He knows what he's doing and knows what he's talking about. Gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Doctors is announcer tonight. Cousin Brucey here for Cousin Walter Sterling.
Now, this is a great honor for me. Imagine being introduced by Cousin Brucey, the man who invented Top 40 Radio for all intents and purposes. Now, I'm going to reveal two things most people don't know about you. Number one, you are the most decent man I have ever met. You are a man of your word. You are better off the air than you are on the air. Now, that never happens. Usually when you meet a famous radio star like you, there's some trouble off the air. There's some problem. They're hiding bourbon under the turntable. They got a gambling problem. They changed their name to avoid the divorce lawyers. There's always some problem. And they always have better ideas than you do. Like, whatever you're doing, they say, you know, if you did it this way, it'd be great, or else I'm going to quit. Fine. You are a worker among workers. You want it to get done. You want everybody to succeed. I have never heard anybody say a bad word about you, and I've known you long enough to collect every bad word they could have said. Then, for proof, this is unbelievable. Never happens. I had the privilege of having dinner with you and your two daughters, your gorgeous daughters, in Las Vegas. We had dinner on top of the Eiffel Tower in Vegas, mm-hmm. not in Paris, in Vegas. And it was steak. It was very expensive. And
did you pick up the bill? I don't remember.
No. And absolutely not.
I remember.
Absolutely not. Your daughters, your grown children who have had enough time to consider it, adore you. Now, that is the ultimate mark of a man. Your daughters, the toughest act in the room, adore you. And that is everything that New Yorkers need to know about you. Your daughters adore you. Your wife worships you. And that's the real report card.
Well, I'm a very lucky man. I appreciate those kind words. But, you know, I've loved people all my life. And I was brought up, Walter, as you know me a long time, to respect and to really love people when they deserve it. Right? That's it. I'm so happy to be here. We debuted my new show tonight. And I want to get out. Jody's waiting outside. But I would not miss the opportunity of saying hello to you. You and I have known each other for years. I think you're terrific. And very honestly, I owe you a lot of my career. I really do. And in my next book, I'm going to tell everybody what you did.
Two stories I want from you the next time you're here. I want you at some point in our relationship at WABC to tell us the Bermuda story.
All right.
Because it's an incredible story.
I got in trouble there. A little bit.
You got in a lot of trouble in Bermuda, and it makes you a hero to me. We'll talk more about that the next time you're here. Thank you so much for introducing me tonight. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to say goodnight to you.
Good night,
sir. I've had quite a night. I am like, I don't know where I am.
You don't have to work tomorrow. You can rest.
Okay. Come on, now do a show, will you please?
My love to Jody.
Thank you, Walter. Walter Sterling.
Thank you, sir. All right, now hold the recording of that. We'll play it every week of him introducing me. Ironically, the sound engineer we have is named Bruce. So, Bruce, hold that recording, and we'll play it every single week before the show. Every contract, we'll play that up. Now, listen, he calls himself Cousin, and you all know the story of how he got to be Cousin Brucey, adored and worshipped. But Before he was called Cousin Brucie, he was called the Hammer. When he was on 1010 Winds, when that was a rock and roll station, he was called the Hammer. Because it was this. It was this the whole time he was on the air. But that's not what I would call him. What I would call him is the Comet. I would call him the Comet, and I'll share with you in a second why I'd call him the Comet. But let's talk about that show you heard tonight. That was a historic show. Bruce Morrow on WABC. Oh, my gosh. Here's my number, 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. How do you feel? How did that make you feel? Now, consider what it feels like usually when you listen to a top 40 radio show. You feel nothing. You feel nothing because the hosts are reading liner cards. They're just going through the motions. Or worse, they've pre-recorded their parts. They have liners. It's unbelievable. They've pre-recorded their parts. And that's what you're hearing. Therefore, no heart, no soul. But I want you to imagine this. But let's talk about this. Let's talk about what happened tonight, because what happened tonight is very important. My number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is 77 WABC with Walter M. Sterling. Now, I want you to imagine this. Before Bruce Morrow, there was this vast primordial ooze of angst. There was this primordial ooze of angst that kids in Manhasset, Maplewood, Sunnyside, Queens were living in. Pimply-faced, sweating, nervous about asking the blonde out. This is where we were before Bruce. Now, I want you to imagine this. You're lying in sweat. This is shocking. Before, you won't believe this, there was a time when kids did not have air conditioners in their rooms. There was a time in the house, if anybody had an air conditioner, it was mom and dad and the kid with asthma next to your room. But you didn't have an air conditioner. You had an exhaust fan. Remember exhaust fans? Well, now you're lying in bed and you're sweating because it's July and August and September and you're sweating. And you're miserable. You can't believe the horrible life you have. And you have a transistor radio. And you turn on the transistor radio. It's under your pillow. And out comes this. And you're like, what is this? Is this? What is this? Well, it's mom's music and show tunes and dad's music. But that it wasn't your music. It was this crap that would come out of the radio. And then, sometimes late at night, especially in July and August, you'd hear other stuff coming. And it was very strange. It was like nothing you ever heard. But
yes, sir, the first 15 minutes of Red Hot and Blue is coming to
what is he saying? I don't really understand what he's saying. It's very strange.
And CV for you, that champagne velvet, distributed by the Mass Security Company right here in the city of Memphis. Now, don't forget, by now, let's just flat wake up out there. Let's get ready. We're going to start off the first record here. Let's see now. Wait a minute there. We're going to play the first record.
It was a music that you didn't understand. You didn't understand it. And a disc jockey who was saying stuff that was like, what is he saying? It was hard to understand. But these signals would come in from all over the country, especially in July and August. Distant signals from Memphis and Chicago and Lexington, Kentucky and the South, but not from here. And you'd hear this beat coming through your radio, but it was like, whoa, what is that? What is that? It was a very special time. It was the time of the most unique teenage angst. And before Bruce Morrow, it was a lost generation. And once Bruce Morrow showed up, it became the boomer generation. Bob in Fairlawn, New Jersey, welcome to WABC. Hi, Bob.
How you doing, Mr. Sterling? It brought me back to my childhood. I'm 62 years old, and listening to Cousin Brucie just made me feel like I was 8 years old again.
And how? Yes, and how
they talk to you? They used to talk to you like that. It's part of the family.
It made you feel good, didn't it?
Oh, it was great. It was a great booster. WABC made a great decision by bringing back Cousin Brucey. He's the only legend left of all the old DJs from WABC.
Bob Katsimatidis is the owner of WABC, and he was the genius who brought back Cousin Brucey. Thank you very much
Absolutely.
For your call, Bob.
He is a genius. God bless him.
Thank you very much for your call, Bob. I appreciate it. Fred in Belmar, New York, welcome to WABC at 800-922.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call, Mr. Sterling. Well, I'm in Delmar, New York, just outside of Albany. Well, a couple of things. The incredible reach of the station is what I remember. My mother used to drive around Westchester County. It was like the mid-60s, and she was blasting WABC. And I remember, you know, you'd go to the beach and all the radios would be on WABC. But tonight, because you were asking about tonight specifically, I thought it was amazing because it gets back to actually hearing somebody communicate. One of the guys there, I guess it was Les Marshak, says, you know, you're a great communicator. I mean, you're hanging on to every word he's saying. You're listening to him reminisce. You're listening to the callers reminisce. The music brings, you feel like you're back in time, basically, to that era of mass appeal radio. And I think he's going to be fantastic. I say thank you, John Katsimatidis, and thank you, Bruce Morrow, you know, for coming back on the air. It's what a breath of fresh air. You put that on a Saturday night. This is going to be like destination listening.
And the irony is that Bruce has been on Saturday nights since about 1960. Continuously on Saturday night. He's like Mr. Saturday Night. So I appreciate the call, Fred. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling WABC. 800-848-9222. 800. Why am I doing that? What am I looking at? There. See, there are no signs in the studio. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222 with Walter M. Sterling. Let's talk about how the Bruce Morrow Show made you feel. How did that make you feel? Because remember the time before Bruce Morrow? I'm not saying you need to be old. I'm telling you about what an important historic figure he is. He's an important man because this is what he did. And it's why I call him the Comet. The reason I call him the Comet. You ever watch Ancient Aliens? Ancient Aliens believes that comets and meteors are filled with life, and they land on Earth, on the oceans and the deserts, and they explode, and the life comes out of the comets and the meteorites. Bruce Morrow is like that. Bruce Morrow brought rock and roll to New York City, and when he brought it in a way that it could take root. Rock and roll has been around since 1928, and there were disc jockeys who played rock and roll in New York, and it really wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big deal until Bruce Morrow played it. Why was that? Because Bruce had the special formula in his voice and his heart that allowed rock and roll to embed in our DNA. It embedded into our hearts and into our DNA. No one else had done that. Yeah, there were a few other guys playing it. But no one else was able to present it in such a way that said, you must care about this. This is important. Pay attention. And his presence defined baby boomers. And then, to make sure nobody missed the point, the Beatles showed up, and that's when baby boomers began. When Bruce Morrow played the Beatles, boom, that was it. That's why he's an important man. He's an incredibly important man. There are other aspects to how rock and roll perpetuated, and it's a fascinating story. It's an amazing story, but it was disseminated by radio. And the greatest integration machine of our culture is Top 40 Radio. It is Top 40 Radio that integrated this nation in a wonderful, magical way like nothing else. All right, let's talk about the Cousin Brucey Show. I hope you loved it. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is WABC 77.
We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
All right, it's great to be with you on WABC on a Saturday night. Look at that. It's 922. Walter M. Sterling, let's talk about how you feel about Bruce Morrow being on WABC. And then I'm going to share with you some of the amazing facts about how Top 40 radio exploded, how it happened. Because I don't want this to be lost in the sands of history anymore. This is an important story. There's Daniel at 800-848-9222. Daniel at 800-848-9222. Welcome to WABC. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Hi.
Hi. You want to talk about Brucey?
Yes.
Okay, listen. The one thing... I'm in Brooklyn, New York, by the way. The one thing about that you and people from that Brucey did was he had the dance party. There was this tape. It was a loop. There was a party going on. So between all the cousins that he was broadcasting to and that music that was going on in the background, I wish he could find it for his show, because that was the gimmick.
Daniel, thank you very much for your call. But let me talk to you about that loop that was behind his show for 9 years. I am so glad he did not find that loop. There was this annoying piano, dun, 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 behind him on WABC before that he played during the dance party. I thank God he didn't play it, because after 9 years of hearing it, it would be hard to express how annoying it was. He's perfect. He doesn't need the loop. Roger from the Bronx, welcome to WABC. Hi.
Oh, how you doing? Thank you for having me on. Oh, when somebody called me and told me that Bruce was on, it was like 6 o'clock, it just made me feel so good. I took my bicycle out, blasted my radio, I have a little cassette boombox with a cassette radio, and I was riding down Pelham Parkway feeling so good. It's like a natural high. I mean, I'm playing my music, and as I'm riding along, you can't beat that. It's just, when I was younger, you know, I used to listen to the different stations, switch between, like, I think it was WWDJ, MCA, ABC. They had different disc jockeys playing the songs. I mean, that was the greatest time of my life in the 60s and early 70s. Just wanted to share that with you.
Do you still have hair?
Well, I have to do a bald spot in the middle of my head. I'm 63, so, but, I mean...
You're 63? You're 63. You don't look a day over 58. Thanks for calling, Roger. I appreciate the call to 77 WABC at 800-848-9222. Walter M. Sterling talking about the impact that Bruce Morrow had on our lives. Now, let's think about this. There was not a time when Top 40 was always around. It did not always exist. Top 40 is a fairly new phenomenon. This is the 100th anniversary of radio. This week is the 100th anniversary of radio. Well, how did this Top 40 thing start? It's an amazing story. Let me tell you this story. While you were lying in bed in Manhasset, Sunnyside, Maplewood, sweating, perspiring, being miserable, waiting to hear something that was just right for you, there was a guy in Omaha, a young man in Omaha, who was the heir to the store's beer fortune. He was sitting there in Omaha, and he loved radio. He talked his father into buying the dead last radio station in Omaha for $5,000. He bought a radio station in Omaha, 500 watts, $5,000. They buy this station. And he said, you know, there must be a format that we could put on this. He'd go to his diner, and he'd notice that at the end of the day, when the waitresses used their own money in the jukebox, they played the same songs that had been played all day in the jukebox by customers. They were playing the same songs they heard all day. And he said, that's amazing. They've heard these songs all day. Now they're putting in their own money to hear those songs over and over again. And he started to track what were the most popular songs. He said, well, what if I just played the 40 most popular songs on this radio station? No one else had ever done it. No one else had ever done it. And people said he was crazy. He had this low-watt station. It was his father's money. He puts it on the air. He just plays the 40 songs that were most popular at the time. And he plays them over and over again. And then he found a presentation style, specific disc jockeys who could match the pace of the music. The music was fast-paced, and he found disc jockeys who could match the pace of the music, and he called it Top 40, and his name was Todd Storrs. In one rating book, that station went from dead last in Omaha to number one. It was number one. And then they bought a station in Kansas City, did the same thing. In New Orleans, did the same thing. Miami, every place he bought a dead last radio station, it became number one because he played the same hits over and over and over again. That's how Top 40 radio stations sounded. This is what one of his stations sounded like.
Quick, I was just getting to that record. That's cool when the gang calls the Jungle Boogie on the Big Bad Wednesday.
K-O-W-A.
You, Leo Knott, and music. 11, K-O-W-H, number one in Omaha. And, of course, this is Chicago's own Leo Knott reminding you that roses are red, violets are blue.
K-O-W-H in Omaha. That was the first Top 40 radio station in America. And I've never understood why that wasn't landmarked. Why wasn't that station landmarked? You want to hear more of that station? Listen to this. Here's more of KOWH in Omaha.
Offer of a lifetime. How do you do a that? Complete five-piece place setting of hand-painted dinnerware for only 99 cents with a $2.50 purchase of other items. Detergent-proof, oven-proof, underglazed dinnerware that comes in two patterns, Wheatcrest or Will-O-The-Wisp. A five-piece place setting for only 99 cents at Hinky Dinky. Where else? Hinky Dinky brings you the official Omaha Council Bluffs temperature reading. It's 3 degrees above zero.
This is the Explorer. And this is the late news early from the KOWH newsroom on the local, national, international, and interplanetary scene.
Arch Andrews reporting, our lead story is datelined Omaha. Conditions appear favorable for diversion and closure of the huge Owyhee Dam near Pierce, South Dakota. President has remained indoors as temperatures are cold, the low 5 to 8 below. Monday, mostly sunny, not quite so cold, the high 15 to 20.
Right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. That's KOWH, the first Top 40 radio station in America. And you and I will talk more in just seconds on WABC.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
Yes. What?
Somebody crying?
Come in here. Come in here. If you're going to interrupt my show, come in here. So Bruce Morrow is standing out in the hallway.
Yes, he's on the air.
Bruce Morrow is standing out in the hall making demands. His lovely wife is exhausted from having to listen to him, and she's dying for Italian food because you know the best Italian restaurants in New York. At the moment, what is your favorite Italian restaurant, by the way?
It's all closed.
Yeah,
right. I don't know. We've been living upstate and here, and most of the restaurants that we go to are closed.
Did you say you're living up in your estate?
Upstate.
Is that what you said?
No. Upstate in our estate.
Now, do you still have a farmer living, a cow, a herder living on your property?
I have approximately 28 cows.
You have 28 cows.
The problem is I don't know which side to milk. I have no idea. No, I'm a gentleman. Look, let me ask you something.
Yes.
And that's when I was making noise in the hall and very unprofessional.
Very unprofessional.
What are all these callers? What is going on here?
I'm asking them about how they felt about your show, because think about my hell of coming on after you. So the only thing I could do would be to talk about how they felt about your show, to stream your energy into my show, to take advantage of it, to capture. What am I going to do? Talk about something, you know, that happened in the New York Post today? Well,
so, all right, give me the results. But, you know, so I wonder, I was so busy doing that show, I have no idea what I did.
Okay. I'm putting, what, I can't read that. I'm old. What the hell? What are you put, I'm getting a sign from the control room that's in charcoal. They've given you
against a black
background. Kyle, are you new to radio? You came from Long Island. That doesn't count, you know.
Oh, whatever.
That doesn't count. That's not actual radio, and I'm not.
All right, I'm not going to interrupt you.
Every so how's week.
It? Just give me. Was it a good result?
We have to introduce Bruce Morrow for your sign. What does your sign say, Kyle?
Take Leslie on line three.
Leslie, okay. You're on WABC with Bruce Morrow. Could you please put on those headphones for one second?
Right,
just
start.
For a second. We're going to talk to Leslie, who seems to think you're important.
Leslie, hold on. I'll be right there.
All right.
Don't go away, Leslie.
John Katsimatidis has placed his future on this. Here we go.
Does that fit in it? Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now you're talking to Bruce Morrow, Leslie. Hi.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi,
Leslie.
Hi, Cousin Brucey.
Oh, no, hi, boy. Honey. Well, Leslie, where are you living? Where are you?
I'm in Yorktown. You know who I am, Leslie Peskov Fish.
Oh, Leslie, I know Leslie. Of course I do. These are all. This is like one monster family. I got Walter here, Walter Sterling. Jody's here. I got you, Leslie. Leslie was one of my presidents of a fan club years ago, and we've been friends ever since. Leslie, how are you?
I'm fine. I am. I'm in tears listening to you.
That
you
bad.
I'm 15 years old again tonight. Okay,
you know,
I'm 15.
You know, honey, you answered a question. I said to Walter Sterling, I said, Walter Sterling, what was the response? What was the results? You just told me. You just told me what the response was.
You brought me so much happiness. I can't even express it.
You can express it in checks.
You know what happens? Kind of interesting, Leslie and Walter Sterling. You know, you're a broadcaster. I just spoke to David LaRosa, and I said, David, what happened? Know what I mean by that? I went on the air at 6. 3 hours passed. It felt like 3 minutes, which means you did a good
Isn't
job.
Isn't that the best?
And I said to him, how was it? You know, I asked the boss, how was it? How did I do? I felt I did well. I mean, you know, it's a mechanical the first time you have a lot of stuff. So, Leslie, give me a critique. What do you think?
Well, I think you have a career ahead of you. No, seriously, I was on, I have the radios going, I actually got it on my regular radio, and also the Facebook page, and the fans on your page, and I was reading the comments, and of course added my 2 cents in, and you're loved all over the nation.
Isn't that
nice? All over the nation.
Well, I am so grateful to you and to those listeners and to Walter and David and John and Chet. I can't tell you, I have a whole wonderful family here. A lot of them are brand new to me, but I feel like I've known them a long time. And you guys out there, well, what can I tell you? I love you.
Thank you,
and
Leslie.
We're going to go on. Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome. I love you,
Leslie.
Bruce.
Thank you.
Added so much to my teenage years. I'll never forget it, and I'm so blessed. I'm really blessed you're in my life, honestly.
Thank you. Well,
I am too. You know, I was going through the scrapbook that I have of you, and I still have the thank you card you sent me when Paige was born and I bought her a present.
Oh, sweet. Listen, Leslie, Jody and I have to get home.
Were you at the bat mitzvah?
And he has to do a show, and you're going to call me next week, all right? Get through next week, and we can continue. Love you.
Thank you very much, Leslie.
Bye,
by
Leslie.
The way, you know what I've got to bring in? I have the first Cousin Brucey newsletter.
You're kidding.
With Muff the Little Poodle.
Muffin the Wonder Dog. We wonder where he would pee next.
sung to the tune of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, God.
How about that?
I would love to see it.
How about that?
Well, to do a show, I won't interrupt you again. That wasn't very nice. I thought, you know, the door was open.
No, I wanted you to come in.
Oh, the door was open.
Who wants you to come in? It's an honor to come in. Leslie, a little long, but I was very happy that you came in.
She's a sweetie. She, of course. Leslie, my kids. So sweet. They were so nice. They're beautiful. The people out there are great. They aged with me, right? They get better like wine.
You haven't aged.
I'm not allowed. That's the deal I have with John. I can't age.
No, you can't. Listen, you stop in any time. It's an honor to have you here.
Thanks.
You are my dear friend. You are a power of example on how to be a grown-up, and thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Plus, you're not taking statin drugs.
You know what I'll do? I'll take my Lego blocks and my Spalding and go home. Bye-bye.
Love you. I would shake your hand, but it's illegal.
Bye, Walter.
Bye. Jody, I love you, Walter. Jody. Thank you.
I love you,
thank you,
too. It was so nice seeing you.
My goal was to bring you flowers tonight. Nothing was open. No, really. And then I thought I'll bring her chocolate, and she might say, I can't eat it.
Oh, thank you, Walter.
Thank you. All right. Goodbye. Goodbye. The Murrows are leaving. Now, you know the rules, guys. I don't have the sound that has Mike Lindell saying get rid of it to get rid of the call. So when I say thank you for calling, that's when the call has to go. Otherwise, it'll be a festival of calls. Who would you like me to take? Which line do you want me to take next? Please don't jump around too much. I get very nervous. All right. Art in Rock Hill, welcome to WABC with Walter Sterling. Hi.
How you doing? I got to tell you, tonight's broadcast brought me back about 60 years. I'm 73 years old.
You're and, the youngest.
Yeah, thank you. And I lived in Connecticut for a while, then moved to New York and New Jersey. I remember as a kid listening to WABC on my transistor radio under my pillow. I know they were talking about that during Bruce's show. But I remember the great lineup they had. And it was the best radio lineup, in my opinion, in radio. I mean, with Dan Ingram, with Ron Lundy, and a whole bunch of other great names. Unfortunately, we've lost those two, but we still have the great Cousin Brucey. And my God, it was just one of the best shows I've ever heard. I'm a radio fanatic. I know you were talking about 100 years in broadcasting. We're celebrating right now with KDKA, KFI out in Los Angeles. But WABC has always been my main station.
Well, Art, what? I appreciate that, and thank you very much for your call. It's terrific to hear from you at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. With Walter Sterling, you and I are talking about the incredible experience we had tonight of hearing what radio is supposed to sound like. Remember what it was supposed to sound like? It's supposed to have an energy and a seductiveness and an attraction, and that's what Bruce Murrow brings, and he's going to be here every Saturday night. That wasn't like some special thing just for Labor Day. Every Saturday night from 6 to 9 p.m. What an honor to be on with WABC with Bruce Murrow. Mickey in the Bronx, welcome to WABC.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mickey. I just want to thank you for the primer on Top 40 Radio. That was fabulous. But I just have to tell you this. You're saying Bruce Murrow brought rock and roll out as far as a radio guy. No way on earth. The man was Alan Freed. And if you ask Bruce, in a moment of honesty, he will tell you that. Because he listened to Freed when Freed was on WINS before.
Well, gang, thank you. Before we leave tonight, we'd like to say a special thanks. We don't have much time to thank everybody, especially to our friends in the music business and to our wonderful friends here and all of you out there for your great loyalty. This is not goodbye. It's just good night, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Let's talk about Alan Freed. Alan Freed was the first person to play rock and roll in New York City, and thank you very much for the call. The first person to play rock and roll in New York City. And let me tell you why that was different. Alan Freed was the first one to play rock and roll in New York. He was the one who coined the phrase rock and roll in Cleveland in 1951. He did it on WJW and WWJ. It was a big, big thing. This is what he did in Cleveland. And let's talk for a second about why did that happen in Cleveland? Why was rock and roll started in Cleveland? Why was it coined first in Cleveland? I'll tell you why. In 1950, 51, 52, 53, Cleveland and New York were far more similar than they are today. Akron, Cleveland, Detroit, New York. This was the industrial belt. They were connected by freight trains hauling coal city to city for it to be refined, to refine oil. In 1950, the city of Cleveland had had a million people. Today it has maybe 300,000. But then it had over a million people. It was the 10th largest city in America. It was a booming industrial city. And you know what the rhythm of steel towns are? Detroit, Akron. You know what the rhythm of those towns are? Youngstown, it's boom, 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 boom. That's the rhythm of the cities. These guys would get off 10-hour shifts working in the steel mill, in the coal mines, in the refineries, boom, boom, boom. And they were angry, and they were underpaid, and they were in booming towns. They were in booming towns. The rhythm of the steel mill, the vibration of the floors in the steel mill is something like you and I can never imagine. And then Alan Freed would go on the radio in Cleveland, and he'd start playing these songs that had the same rhythm as the steel mills and the same rhythm as the freight trains, the same rhythm as the refineries. This was an overwhelming surround of sound. This was the surround sound of Cleveland, Akron, Youngstown, New York. It was a very different time in our history. All of those sounds are silent. But Freed would hear that in Akron, and he'd put it on the radio. He'd find records that sounded like that, and he'd put it on the radio. And he'd say, this is rock and roll, rock and roll, rock and roll. The rhythm of the freight trains on the railroad tracks. That's what he heard. Well, guess what? In 1952, a general manager in New York City at 1010 Winds heard about the Coronation Ball in Cleveland, where he had white kids and black kids dancing together in the hallways. And that was problematic, but he had very successful concerts in Cleveland where he'd put on the biggest rock acts of the day, the biggest rhythm and blues acts of the day in Cleveland. And he got huge ratings and huge crowds. On the Alan Freed website is the contract that he was sent to come to New York. To come to New York. And you know why they hired Alan Freed to come to New York? It was not to be a disc jockey. It was to put on concerts because they saw that they made a ton of money. Ironically, when this general manager put out his weekly report to his boss, the general manager of the radio station in New York, he put it out, and it was a three-page report. It was the last item on a three-page report, and I have hired the Moon Dog from Cleveland. I believe his concerts will make a lot of money for WINS. He hired him for the concerts because he viewed that as another source of income. So, yes, Alan Freed brought it here first, but Alan Freed didn't make it okay. Bruce Morrow made it okay. Bruce Morrow played that music, and he made it okay. He took it like a comic and excelled it right into our hearts, right into our DNA. He took that music, Bruce Morrow did, and put it into our hearts because he delivered the music from his heart to ours. Bill in Norwalk, Connecticut, welcome to WABC and Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222. Hi, Bill.
Cousin Brucey, back in 1969, there were demonstrations going on in New York City. Anti-war and anti-American people were there and burning flags. And Cousin Brucey said he was going to play something for them. And he played Only in America by Jay and the Americans. And that left me very, very much in favor of Cousin Brucey after that.
Only Cousin Brucey could have done that. And it was in the fabric of his show and his life. Thank you very much for the call, Bill. Diane in New York City, welcome to WABC.
Hi, thank you so much. And that was so beautiful, how Bill was touched by that. That touched a lot of people just now. You were just talking about the DNA of it going into our heart. I was just saying that, you know, when we move, when we move our bodies physically, it actually ignites dormant DNA. And while Cousin Brucey was playing his music that we all know and love, I'm a baby boomer from New York City and New Jersey. I grew up listening to this. And I was dancing the twist, you know, and all of the dances, the jerk, the swim, all the things that we used to do back in the 60s, 50s and 60s. And I did ignite my DNA. I really did, because all of that sound and everything came into me and gave me the comfort food, you know, the music medicine that I needed to heal, you know, from all of these. I mean, we, you know, everyone's going through this thing with the pandemic, which has been devastating, but just the years and the decades where radio.
Well, you know what else it did? It didn't just give you the comfort, it gave you the confidence to be who you are. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call. James in Brooklyn, welcome to WABC with Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222.
Thank you for having me on, Walter. I would have asked Cousin Brucey if he had any thoughts about the movie and stage play Jesus Christ Superstar, which the movie came out in 1973. And it was, I think it's a worshipful movie, but the problem, I guess, was that it seemed to suggest that Jesus and the apostles were...
Thank you for the call, James. Thank you for the call. Thank you for calling WABC, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. What a pleasure to be with you tonight on this gorgeous night, this magical Labor Day weekend. You and I get to experience Cousin Bruce Morrow, where he belongs, on WABC. This is 77 WABC.
We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
All right, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. On a special night where the King of New York Media has been returned to his throne, Bruce Morrow is back at WABC. I say he was the comet that landed on New York City in the early 60s, and off of him came rock and roll. He made it okay. He made it okay for baby boomers who were lying in bed in Manhattan, Maplewood, sweating in July and August, with the transistor under their pillows. And it would be hard to describe how liberating he was, because you know what? When he spoke, parents hated him. Authorities hated him. Advertisers wanted nothing to do with it. And what a thrill that was for teenagers in the 60s to go, oh, this is something different. It helped define a generation. His presentation helped to find a presentation because they hated the music. Parents hated the music. They hated the Beatles. And you know what they hated most about the Beatles? The haircuts. They hated the Beatles' haircuts. But when Bruce started screaming, that was like inexcusable. That was horrible. But the other thing that started happening throughout the tri-state area, and it was far less of an issue here than in the rest of the country, was that this music that was put on the air by Bruce Morrow, it was called race music. And it had black kids and white kids dancing together in communities where that was not okay. Therefore, men like Bruce had to have a certain measure of courage to integrate the music that they were playing. It was, believe me, God's work. It was not easy to do. And I've always respected him, but mostly I've respected the executives, believe it or not, who put him on the air and figured out a way to sell that airtime, because that's the only way anything happens. But it was because of his success and a handful of others that it perpetuated and grew and got to a point where nobody could stop it and nobody should ever stop it. I'm Walter Sterling on WABC at 800-888-9222. Gentlemen, which call should I take next? Let me see a number, please. Yes, I run a tight show. Doug, you're on WABC. Hi.
Hi, Walter. How you doing tonight?
Well, look at this weather. Who could be unhappy? I'm working with Bruce well, Morrow. What could be bad?
It's a little nicer in New Hampshire. It's cooler, and finally the heat's gone. But, you know, I wanted to tell you that...
Stop. Doug, how are you listening to us? Are you listening to us on the stream, which is all management looks at, or are you listening to us over the air?
I'm doing internet right now.
All right. How's that sound?
Super.
Oh, good. Okay, now please go ahead and tell us what you wanted to say.
I grew up in the 60s, and, you know, at night when you wanted to listen to Top 40, rock and roll, it was WABC, and it was Cousin Brucey, and, you know, it was the transistor radio under your ear, and, you know, I listened to them, and, you know, I got into the bug of being a DJ. I didn't make ABC land, but I did, you know, in the Upper Valley of New Hampshire and Vermont, and that's where I am, and I loved it.
Are you a disc jockey now?
And now?
Yeah, are you a disc jockey now? You retired. You're a smart man. Thank you very much for calling, Doug. Now you got on WABC. You see, Doug, you made it. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Is this fun? Do we have the best time on the radio? I sure do, and I appreciate the amazing Bruce sound engineer. I have the best sound engineer in the business, and I have an email address. Would love to hear from you. My email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. Will WABC give me an email address? It remains to be seen. It remains to be seen if they're going to make a big commitment to be. But until then, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. Plus, I have a Facebook page that's fantastic. Walter M. Sterling is the Facebook page. I look forward to talking to you next Saturday at 9:00.